All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, as you can see, I have taken various wood and have constructed the world's largest Towers of Hanoi.
Generic. Okay.
Mm-hmm. BioWare.
Yeah. Is this you trying to get hired at the company? Things aren't really going that great over there right now.
Yeah, I got a hell of a pitch for Anthem too.
Ooh. Anthems of Hanoi.
Anthems of Hanoi. It's basically just Fallout Van Buren. My pitch is dissolve your entire company and fire your staff and hire Obsidian and make games I care about. So that's my pitch. I'm hoping to get hired based on this.
Give Obsidian your name.
Make it like a Square Enix thing.
Yes.
Just combine, but then everything you do goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that they do comes back.
Yes.
I call it Interplay. I wrote on these all these things. You can see they're rather small sized, but there are, you know, thousands and thousands of them.
Ooh.
And I've written a game on everyone, and I figured you could try to do Towers of Hanoi while I go have sex and eat delicious food and drink and do drugs, and then whenever you give up, you can tell me what game it is, and then I'll come back and record the show while I'm over partying in the pussy zone.
Okay, I mean. Can I choose? Can I give up now? I really would rather not do this.
No, but you can wear gloves.
God damn it! I left my gloves back at home.
Well, anyway, I'm gonna be neck deep in Starla. you get to work.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll just we'll just do like a little time lapse there, I guess. All right, Gary, I think that I got it. Yeah, no, I probably should have knocked, but you replaced all your doors with beaded curtains in the time that I was away. You really went whole hog on the lifestyle, man.
Yeah, man. This is a lava lamp. You don't know where it's been.
It's a lava lamp butt plug. That has to exist, right? Incognito window?
Yeah, oh, yeah. If not... like if not dispensers, when they reopen, we got something that's going to bring you back, baby. what was on the name of the highest, the best block you were able to do?
Yeah, so every one of the things was related to towers. There was like the
Deadly Towers.
We already did that though. There was the Two Towers PS2 game. That's not so much bad as it is just boring. The one that eventually ended up on top was something I've never heard of before. It's called Mystic Towers.
Mm. Mm-hmm. That's my name for my beaded curtain room.
Mm-hmm.
Pussy explosion.
The pussy explosion time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's fine.
I call myself Mystic Towers. Yeah, I could kind of vibe with this a little bit.
Yeah.
Like just a little bit. Like, yeah, I didn't play that much of it, but
I bet you
there is a time and a place. Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering. Abject Suffering. God damn the reordering. because I can't remember the show where we use a bad game to talk about things we can't talk about on WAF anymore.
Ever since the judge lowered their gavel and changed WAF forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, and this week we are talking about a game called Mystic Towers. This is a Patreon demand from Rowan, who characterizes this as a gross old dude wanders around an isometric tower looking for true love, presumably.
He's looking for something.
He's.
Did you look at the cover of this game?
Of course I did, Gary.
I love that this is their, like, this is a great video game protagonist.
So this is starring Baron Baldrick. Baldrick also starred in a game called Baron Baldrick: A Grave Adventure, which basically looks like a Jane of the Jungle or Onesimus style side scroller, a PC, you know, DOS, Amiga kind of thing. I guess in the on TV Tropes, it is compared to Impossible Mission 2 or Montezuma's Revenge. So just a very basic side scroller. But Baron Baldrick is a wizard who happens to be an old man halfway into transforming into a very, very old potato.
He's got real big Gargamel, like Gargamel's dad.
Yes. Vibes. Gargamel's very disappointed father.
Yeah. Like on the cover, he's real Gran Torino-ing. Like the neighborhood just got lousy with snakes and whatever that thing is with the horns. Like the honky friend.
Yeah, it's like a soft-shelled turtle that is also a Q-bert.
Yeah, but with no shell.
Yeah.
Like it's like what's under the shell. And then the turtle or the skeleton, the sad skeleton waving from the fire.
Hey guys.
And the snake that's doing an impression of the old man. Like this cover is great. Yeah. There's a lot going on in it.
I love the composition of this too, because like all of this action is taking place in like maybe 1/4 of the vertical space of the, and the rest of it is dedicated to like wall and roof.
They had to express its isometric nature,
mm-hmm.
even on the cover.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because that's right. This is one of our classic Euro style isometric 2D games. We're going around this tower. There is like a setup, like you're going around these Lazarine towers trying to defeat an evil wizard.
And you go. It's like a way gentler, less puzzle focused version of the Immortal.
There's less like instant death that is apparent, or like
less actiony version of Landstalker.
Mm-hmm.
Like more puzzly and less actiony than Landstalker, less puzzly and, you know, more actiony than the Immortal.
And this ends up being really strange because there's like a hunger and thirst meter in this too.
Is this a roguelike when I was like starting it?
That's a little bit what I felt like, especially because I couldn't tell if the enemies were moving when I moved. So it is in real time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming at you. And I was unable to discern when I was casting a spell and when I was just kind of doing his, I guess, spinning attack or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to line up against enemies to throw your poison cloud at them because isometric games in real time shouldn't happen.
Right.
It's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't even like really Euro. This is Apogee, the Duke Nukem people.
Yeah.
Who made this, or who published it rather.
Right.
Developed by Animation FX, which is great. What a good name.
It's not even that. Like when you open it up, it's like Apogee Software, like Consumer Products or something like that, or Manicom Consumer Products.
When you click on the developer Animation FX, it brings you to the page for this game.
Yep.
which is real weird.
And on
the Apogee 3D Realms family.
Yes. Probably just like, you know, three dudes in a basement kind of deal. Yeah. It says, so if you do animation effects on Mobi games, like literally all it brings up is Baron Baldrick, A Grave Overture, Baron Baldrick, A Grave Adventure, and then Mystic Towers. When they realize that maybe Baron Baldrick was not necessarily
not
as
Mario.
Bankable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not as bankable as they expected him to be.
Yeah, kids are going to love this syphilitic old racist.
Yes, this cranky old man covered head to toe in warts.
Yeah. They're going to absolutely go ape shit for this guy throwing farts at snakes.
Yep.
For the entire game. So.
Oh, man. You know what kids love more than anything? Feeding an old man.
Exactly. Like, Mystic Tower is sponsored by Wheels on Meals. The Mr. Show, the Wheels to Meals program, where they bring old people the food. Very good.
Yeah, just hand feeding Pep is whatever kid wants to do in a massive wizard tower, because kids love wizard towers. Or if the world was right, then they would.
Oh, but I did.
Yeah,
like I'm pretty into this. Like if this were turn based, but not like if this were roguelike.
Yeah,
and were not isometric.
Mm-hmm.
Bam.
Yes.
Like highly playable game, and I would be into this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you could take this engine and make something I would legitimately really like to play, I think.
Yes. Yeah. But as it stands, yeah. I ended up just being kind of like ripped apart by snakes most of the time, because getting around sucked. And you have to not only kill every enemy, but you have to destroy the enemy generator as well. So there's a little bit of like a gauntlet kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of snakes and like various what's-its.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I was walking around picking up, I did not realize I had to drink water. So the first time I died of thirst. Like, but one of the primary foods that you get in this is watermelon. So I was very surprised. I was like, that's not doing it for you.
Yeah, no, make that a high value pickup. Make it recover both.
Both. Yeah. Cause it's just sugar water and like foam.
Yeah. You know? get you a melon that can do both.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's basically the perfect food if you like
the sand melon. Oh god, watermelon. Yeah. It's one of those things. I feel like this is a cliche, but I like watermelon flavored things, but not watermelon itself.
Mm.
Like a watermelon Jolly Rancher is really good.
Yeah.
Whereas
I don't think I like either, but I think I like the flavor more than I like the reality.
Yes.
It's such a weird food to eat.
The reality of a watermelon is gone. Yeah.
Like, what is that? Like, just like imagining, I'm picturing right now, like I'm trying to paint a feeling picture in my brain of biting into a watermelon. Like,
yep.
And it's just real weird.
Yeah. Like, no, I'm going to cut this up into little cubes too. Yeah. And they're going to get all like watery sitting on a plate in a picnic.
Yeah, you can't like dry out. Imagine like watermelon jerky.
Oh. Sorry. It would just reduced. It would just reduce to 5% of its total volume.
Like this desiccated husk.
Yeah. it would be diaphanous. It would be a cube of
cotton
like
candy.
Yeah. It'd be like cotton candy or spider webs. What I was going to say.
Yeah. The spider web of the candy world.
Yeah. No, thank you. But yeah. So
would you like spider webs more if they shat out cotton candy instead of webs?
Well, no, because then that would bring in ants. You know what? They would catch way more food.
They would like that. Actually,
yeah, they would like that is the thing.
It'd be awesome. We've invented Super Spider.
Yup. Basically. So, you know, just
I
if
Charlotte. We just made an apex predator.
If Charlotte from Charlotte's Web lived like 2 more weeks, she would eventually spell out, "You catch more flies with honey." And they go, wait a minute. And then she lives forever.
Yeah, she just would have. Yeah.
And then I'm not traumatized.
She would have learned to just eat a bunch of sugar until she started pooping out sugar.
Yep.
I imagine like a spider web's web, the taste of it is influenced by what a spider eats, right?
I think so.
That makes sense. Like, it comes from your body. Like your blood is influenced probably by, like, all your body fluids are probably influenced by what you eat.
And people say if you want your loads to taste better, eat a bunch of pineapple.
Yeah, and if you want them to go farther. If you're going for distance,
if you're going for speed,
if you're doing cake, that's true. You're supposed to do pineapple if you want to taste better and have them go further.
I wasn't
I'm joking.
Is that a thing? So pineapple affects the muzzle velocity. Is that what you're telling me?
That's what they say.
That's what they big. Yeah,
big pineapple.
Yeah,
says it. That's what the pineapple consortium was trying to cater to horny teen porn stars.
Gotcha.
Like,
yeah, no. Sometimes I get worried after I eat a bunch of beets because, you know, so sometimes that'll mess with your peas. Colors. Yeah, but I don't want to. You know, I don't want blood cum.
Beets the other. So two things. One, when I had the vasectomy, they said that I might have blood cum, and I was terrified of it.
Right.
It didn't
happen. Well, no, because then you would have to mail your dick away to a haunted house. It's the only place they could live.
I would just open up the haunted house around my dick for more convenience for me.
just get a birdhouse.
Yeah.
make yourself a special underwear with the birdhouse. Yeah.
Yeah, this is my whole thing for getting my dick pecked off by birds.
Okay,
is to get blood cum and then create a bird haunted house around my underwear front. But the other thing is, I ate some beets last week.
Okay,
I had like one of those, like, I'd forgotten that I did it, and I had this crazy nightmare shit that looked like I passed the fucking lamentorium diabolical box or whatever from Hellraiser.
Yeah,
the lament configuration.
Yeah,
like it was horrible. Like, and I was just like, oh, I'm gonna die.
Yeah,
and then I worried about it for a lot. I'm like, well, I should see if that happens again before I literally send myself into a WebMD panic hole.
Yeah, yeah. One data point is not a line.
Yeah, and then like next time it was fine, and then I remembered, like, oh yeah, I had a bunch of beets.
Yeah.
So.
No, I had a similar thing with that, because, you know, like, okay, so this is now a gross episode. We haven't done a gross episode in a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mystic Towers, of course we are.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, look at that cover. Look at that yeah. old man.
At that man and his come me stare.
Come over here stare. Yeah. No, but you like, there are certain foods where if you eat them, you think, okay, like, yeah, just disregard any strange emissions that you have. Like, this is gonna throw it off. But like, there was a birthday cake that I ate, this was several years ago, where there was like a large component of the design, like the icing design, was black. Okay. And the thing about a black dye is that it does not come out of you black, specifically with frosting. It comes out very dark green. And it is not just, as Paul Atreides would say, in your feces, it is also in your urine. When you pee forest green, immediately you think, all right, well, my kidneys have gone crazy. And I'm going to die now.
That's it for me.
Yes.
I'm the going nice to thing about being colorblind. Cause if you told me urine was green and I did not know it, that it wasn't that already, I'd believe you.
Yeah. Well,
like, I can't tell the difference between green and the color that urine is naturally.
Gotcha.
So, Yeah.
Do you know like the specific name for the type of colorblindness that you have? Cause like, I've played around with colorblind modes and they have various different medical terms for them. It's gotten very granular.
I do, but I can't remember. It's like blue green, and what I'm missing is the blue that's in the green.
Okay,
so that's why
yellow and green would look. Gotcha.
Yeah, but also there's red in there too, because blue and purple are perpetually impossible for me to distinguish.
Right
that's the toughest, you know, beast to slay. And then the second toughest is yellow and green. But also there's asparagus, where you get the weird, the crazy smelling pea.
Yeah, I eat a lot of asparagus though, so that actually, that is weirdly comforting.
That's what pea is to you.
I mean, it's not what pea is to me. It's not like it's not like I'm eating asparagus all the time, but my relationship with food is such that any reminder that I was a good boy and ate my vegetables is actually comforting to me, and like, yep, there you go. That Cole is a good decision you just made.
And you know, asparagus is awesome.
Oh yeah, asparagus. Oh man, just roast it up in the oven, a little bit of Parmesan.
I like roasting them a little bit longer than is recommended. They get a little char on them. They get soft, so the texture is worse, but I think that the char is good.
It's a good little good little payoff there.
You ever want to make a nice meal for yourself, throw some bacon into like a panini press, and then cook some asparagus in the leavings.
I've got a bacon grease saver, like a special like metal jar that has a filter on the top of it to keep the actual like little bacon bits out of it, so it doesn't go rancid. I use that. I use that as cooking oil quite a bit, most frequently eggs, but like if I am making up some I love making Brussels sprouts in my air fryer.
Sure.
And that has ended up working pretty well.
Yeah.
Brussels sprouts.
Gross.
Yeah. There we go. We came around. Yeah. So the way out is through, Gary.
Yeah. But I got some asparagus waiting for me later.
Is that part of your produce box that you get?
I discontinued the produce box.
No.
Things were going bad too quickly. Like I instead I was like, yeah, I just, it was stressing me out. And that's the way I go with that. And since I'm trying to be safe in general, I was like, well, I'm going to get groceries delivered.
Yeah.
Because that is the safest for me and for other people. It's right. a one-on-one contact rather than me exposing myself to everyone at the store and exposing everyone at the store to me.
Right.
And I'll just throw some produce in there and do that once a week.
Yeah.
Instead of doing the once every 2 weeks produce box that, like, every once in a while, like, I ate in a row, like, 3 nightmare mushrooms. Like, it was just a bag with a single entity in it. You know?
Okay. And single entity, like, had it gone feral? Did it go feral in the box?
It's just a type of mushroom that I wasn't used to and was grossed out by. But it was like a big, like, one piece mushroom.
Yeah.
Like just one entity.
Mm.
And yeah, it grossed me out real good. I cut it up and ate it and it was fine. It tasted like mushroom.
Uh-huh.
But like, man, mushrooms are fucking weird.
Yeah. So like the idea of just like getting a random box of produce every 2 weeks. First off, produce doesn't last 2 weeks unless you process it and prepare it into something, then freeze it. But that's a different thing. Yeah. But like, I don't know. Meal planning is pretty important, both from like a nutrition standpoint and a money standpoint for me personally, you know, and the idea that my meal planning would turn into a biweekly episode of Chopped seems seems inherently stressful to me. It sounded like when you talked about it, it sounded like it was working for you. So I didn't know if that was
it totally was. Yeah. Like I actually do like it. I think that the issue, cause I liked that I was getting a box of things that would be good to eat. Like they're all healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would get me to try new stuff, you know, and it wasn't that wild. Like, you know, I had that nightmare mushroom every once in a while. Like 1 week they gave me like sea beans and I didn't care for those.
What's a sea bean?
It's a bean and it's incredibly like brackish tasting.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. But I actually liked that part of it. It was just the fact that they don't have a small enough size for me.
Sean Bean's sea beans. Sorry. They send you too big of a box.
Yeah, it's too big. Yeah, I got the smallest one and it's still more than I could eat in a week before things go bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless I'm like literally, you know, preparing and freezing and just stockpiling.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I could stockpile, but like that was getting annoying.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, and then there are a lot of vegetables that I think last longer than they do. Mm-hmm. Like I'm like, yeah, carrot's like a root vegetable. Nope. It's you know, you got a week on a carrot at most.
Yeah.
Like
you got a week. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I ran into that with onions where it's like, ah, yes. Yeah. You know, people in the olden times, they had a hole under their house and they would put these roots in there and it was a root cellar. And I reach into my pantry and it's not like above, you know, it's not in a hot place. Like it was literally just a cool, dark cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And I reach in and onion is stinky soft.
It's got fingers now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's rotting and it's got sprouts. Mm-hmm. And this garlic tried to escape. Like it grew legs and pushed itself up onto its arms.
It grew legs like Dr. Frink's house.
Yeah, basically. Like it pushed itself up onto its legs. And I'm like, you're trying really hard. I respect you.
Yeah.
But you get to go live in the dumpster now because I hate you. So, yeah, I respect you, but I hate you.
Yes. Yeah. No, I got this vacuum sealer and I've just started processing just a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
See, I got the appeal of that, but then I also think like, I'm just going to end up with a bunch of frozen food I don't want to eat in the future. Yeah. That way, like, I don't need to stockpile food. I need a reasonable intake of in and out.
Yes.
Of food,
yeah.
You know? Yeah. So eating, you know, cooking and eating for one is fucking crazy anyway.
Yeah.
It's very hard to make reasonable.
Well, and that's like what the nice part of the vacuum sealer is like half of it, you know, like part one is vacuum sealing the raw stuff, but then part two is using that raw stuff to prepare a meal, like a bunch of food at a time, and then vacuum sealing the individual portions for you, you know, making yourself a portion time. Like the astronauts eat.
Like a microwave, making yourself a TV dinner.
Yes. Yeah. That you can just, you know, throw into a pot, boil it, and then it, you know, comes out just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Just boil it in a bag, baby. Like you're camping.
You ever fuck around with a sous vide?
I do. I have fucked around with a sous vide.
Yeah. I was considering fucking around with a sous vide.
That's good. I was skeptical, but my brother, he told me that it was good and worthwhile. And that is the most reliable way that I have found to cook a boneless, skinless chicken breast without it turning into the most boring thing in the world.
Hmm.
Yeah. And without it getting all stringy and stuff.
Yeah. The trick is, I think, to make it flavorful is you use something other instead of water, like Gatorade or like soy sauce or something.
Yeah.
And then the chicken gets all the power and flavor of Gatorade.
Yep. You just get yourself an energy chicken.
Yeah. Bawk, bawk, motherfucker.
Bawk, bawk, bawk. This is a robot chicken. Oh, damn it. I invented robot chicken. I'm going to be sued by Seth Green now.
Yeah. Well, we'll take the proceeds from Super Spider and use it to pay your court fees.
Yep. We're going to use Super Spider surplus to offset the robot chicken deficit.
Just call us the SS.
I'd rather not.
So Mystic Towers, old man.
Old man.
Isometric.
Mm-hmm.
Game facts. There's kind of a couple funny game facts things on here. Not great.
Yeah.
But I do like the one review of it by Mortimer McMeyer.
Okay.
Who's on here.
Yes.
Where, just pretty generic, like unenthusiastic, but generic beginning.
Yeah. I like the title, like the immediate smash cut. Baron Baldrick is at it again, ... with somewhat mixed results.
The story is 6 out of 10. The town is flooded with monsters and they want you to investigate the towers to clear them of monsters. That's the story. One of the most cliched stories in our time nowadays. I like that story a lot. That sentence a lot.
Since time immemorial recently, we have been.
This annual tradition became a yearly ritual.
But he straight up lies about this too. Controls 2 out of 10. What? How can this be? They say they don't use the keyboard, and yes, you can mouse, like you can press the direction that you want them to go on the little control panel, but they give you like, there are like four different places on the keyboard that you can press to make Baldrick go where you want him to go.
Yeah. It's way better to use the keyboard.
Yeah.
When you use the mouse, I was trying to use a combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
But when you use the keyboard, it moves the mouse over to the button for the direction you moved on the keyboard.
Oh, weird.
It's really fucking weird. Yeah. So like just going pure keyboard, like, you know, direction, notepad, and then alt control and space are the way to do it.
Yeah. No, what I wanted to do, like, I have no idea why I have not seen an isometric game that does this, but just if you have the 9-key number pad. Like, just put your jump on the diagonal. Don't make it be that pressing up sends you up and right, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I've played games that have done that.
Okay.
I like, also in the main fact for this, there's a really pure, bit at the end.
Yeah.
Where the guy says, might I also mention that 3D Realms has a very pleasant support staff. Being that I am not the most adept at getting old PC games to run, they answered my question regarding a product not in their jurisdiction, DOSBox, in a timely and supportive manner. Nothing but thumbs up for me. The chap that helped me was Brian Turner. Thanks a lot, Brian.
Hey, I'm sorry, Mortimer McGee, whatever your name is. You just doxed Brian.
Brian has been doxed. That was the guy who did the review. The guy who did the fact is Entropic Lobo.
Entropic Lobo, that's
Matthew McIntyre, yeah.
Well, then we just doxed Lobo.
He doxed himself.
Okay, yeah. I suppose that's
Mystic Towers is rated L for Lazarine Towers. It contains good scenes one. Of deadly traps and a giant vicious lemon. Player discretion is advised.
Sonic 2 is rated T for Tails.
Rated R for Ringing. Like Robotnik. Rated T for Tails is very funny. Like little logo with Tails with his arms crossed.
Yeah.
I'll make a bunch of stickers and like, you know, government bailout Blockbuster and then go into them and put a bunch of Rated T for Tails stickers on stuff.
Oh man. Wow. Yeah. Salt Cod. So Mystic Lobo or Entropic Lobo changed their name to Salt Cod. And go look at their contributions. They have done a bunch of stuff. I'm looking to see if there's anything that we have covered here.
Oh yeah, this is a commanding.
Oh yeah, they did a fact for Dino Wars.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have run into this person before.
Yeah, even if we didn't mention it. And did we ever do an episode on Golgo 13?
Yes, that was a was an early premium episode.
Yeah, they did. They did a Golgo 13 FAQ as well.
Golgotha 13.
Contra 4, the other good Contra.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we talked to that was a different show we were recording.
No,
we were recording Bonfireside Chat.
No, we never did. We never did Contra 4. Oh wait,
we were talking about Contra in.
Oh, and we said there was like 2.5 good Contra games. Yeah. Gotcha.
So one on Contra. See, this is all worth it.
Yeah.
Oh boy. What else is going on?
I mean, I'm trying. I don't know. I didn't find an awful lot of good stuff. I did confirm that this is an Australian developer. This is not American. So Apogee distributed it, and it was published by Manicom over in Australia. So
Manicom.
Epidemic.
Epidemic.
I've got a thing, you know, walk around the house, I'm listening to stuff about the plague times, and people say epidemic and I correct them and then I say epidemic.
Epidemic. Brit. Brit. It's an epidemic.
It's an epidemic.
Epidemic. Yeah. Brit. Good accent.
It's a really good accent.
Good accent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Charming.
Let's real quick rank the accents.
All of them?
Yeah.
You know what I like a good Afrikaner accent.
Me too.
Yeah, like South African.
African. Like that, like New Zealand.
New Zealand's really good.
Those are the two good ones. All the rest of them fucking suck.
Yeah, get away from me with that Scottish stuff, Mr. Myers.
Let's take a drink in the Atlantic Ocean.
Guess what? The Wire, you're burnt.
Yep.
Yeah.
Baltimore? How about Baltimore?
Receive pronunciation British. How about receive my fist to your face, Brits?
British.
Yeah.
Midwestern
newscaster? Fuck me.
Yeah. How about Midwestern bluescaster? Russian? How about Russian into the garbage? Fucking horrible accent.
Oh. Greek? Canadian?
More like puke!
Canadian? More like Cantonadian, eh?
Yeah, Cantonadian, eh?
Gordy.
Yeah, eh, Gordo?
It's really dumb. Warren. This is really dumb.
No, this is good.
Okay.
What are some other ones that are bad?
What are some other good accents?
Southern, you're never rise again.
No, there are lots of Southern. There's you got your Louisiana, you got your Cajun, like Cajun. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to use it twice because it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All really bad. Florida.
Yeah.
How about Florida?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a Florida accent?
I mean, it depends. There's like a panhandle accent that is really close to like Alabama or Georgia, but not like high culture Georgia, not like your Scarlett O'Hara, like your Southern gentleman kind of thing. Yeah.
Boston? Not the boss of me.
We've almost got them all, man.
We were doing really good.
Yeah.
California, more like Cantifornia. More like Cantifornia. The rent prices in San Francisco, you stupid accent.
More like Taxifornia, right?
Yeah, stupid accent.
Oh.
Washington? Doesn't seem like you wash that much, you stupid accident.
Accent? More like accident.
You stupid accident. Yeah. All other accents? More like accidents.
Oh, just blanket.
More like nice land, not.
Mm-hmm. I literally know. I don't
more
know.
Like I want some more at. Borat is the best accent.
What did you say? Did you say more Borat?
Borat, yeah. That's a good accent.
Nice. Very nice. It is a good accent. Yeah.
I might watch that later today.
Borat might be fun to watch, actually.
Yeah, it might be kind of fun. You know, lay in a bed, like low demanding number of Borats on my screen, like one at a time. I think I can handle a single file Borat into my brain.
Just a serialized Borat drug delivery process.
Yeah, Borat's on parade, like just one at a time. One Borat in, one Borat out.
Just a cartoon of all the Borats marching into your left ear and out the right.
Nice. Not. Nice.
The sleeve of wizard.
Yeah. Make a wizard sleeve. God, Borat.
That movie came out 14 years ago, dude.
It's crazy. People have lived and died in that time. So pretty wild. Entire life during the span of Borat.
Mm. Borat will outlive us all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Borat will outlive us all. Like, I don't think it'll outlive everything. Eventually, all those DVDs will degrade and stuff. Like, Borat isn't eternal. Right. But it's definitely more eternal than I am.
Oh, yeah.
You know? It's pretty wild. Yeah. Mighty Ducks 2 is more eternal than I am. Like,
well, Mighty Ducks 2 is a triumph. Mighty Ducks 2 is where they introduced the knuckle puck, man.
All right. You fucking young kid.
Cool, thanks. good insult, dude. You young kid.
You young kid with your child accent.
Oh. So we've recorded for 35 minutes. I think we need to call this one, man.
We should save some of the energy for
Mimps. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just kind of surprised Super Spider didn't last longer, but I think this is not the last we'll hear of Super Spider.
No, I think Super Spider is going to come. I could have talked about my aunt's problem, but I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, but the things segued after. Yeah, I had ants.
Oh, you don't have ants now?
No, because then I got some bug spray and I sprayed around the perimeter of my house. So it's not so much like a story.
It was a problem.
It was a problem, but it's a solved problem. It was a problem solved by a product and an action that I took.
Later on, I'm talking about my clogged sink that I fixed a couple of years ago.
Yep, the Green Gobbler. when the Green Gobbler was on the way.
Fucking the Green Gobbler, dude.
Yeah.
I used to, in this new apartment, I don't get ants because I don't think they like climbing up to the third floor.
No.
Like, I get a couple ants, but when I live on the ground floor, it was like Ant City, and now they don't want up here.
No, it is a problem that I have because I do not have a basement. My house is on a slab.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just a single story house on a slab. And bugs, when the bugs get in, and Greta the cat is no help at all. She kills the spiders, but she does not eat them. So I find big dead spiders around.
And she doesn't kill the other bugs?
She kind of like had a fitful coexistence. I noticed the ants because she wasn't touching her food as much.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's, and I looked close and like, oh, there are like these tiny little sugar ants crawling all over them. It's like, ah, geez, I'm real sorry, girl. So I moved her food to a different place and dealt with the ant problem. But yep. I don't have a floor anymore because I raked my dining room with Uzi fire.
With shot.
I called it a strafing run.
there's a pantry moth that Pocket has like an uneasy alliance with right now.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm like dealing with, because I know he probably could kill it and he won't, but I want him to really badly.
Are you like the parent who says, hey, I'm not going to go talk to your bully's parents because you have to learn to stand up for yourself?
I'm exactly like the dad in Wolfenstein 2, but
hey, 100%. I saw him hanging out
with a little white cat. I couldn't handle it.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It, like, dealing with pests when you have a, well, like, so I never, previously, what I would do is just go get a shitload of poison. You know, just set off a bug bomb or whatever. But like, so, you know, you have the poison that you can use on the outside just fine because it doesn't get in. And that's what I do that every few months anyway. But you can't use poison on the inside. So I got like an organic pest spray, which is just a shitload of essential oils. I sprayed it. It's like a Bed Bath and it's a Bath and Body Works in a can is what is what happens. It's
generally organic thing. Or natural is like a real code for doesn't work.
It worked though. I did it at the same time as the real poison outside though. But I have not found other ants indoors. So if they were trapped, then at the very least.
But little sarcophaguses, little like black thunderdomes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because I can put them like by windowsills
kind of thing.
Little ant hotels. I think I've said this before on a show, but I'll repeat it. Like Pocket stays away from those, but I will forget about them. Like I'll put them in the corner of a cabinet or whatever, and I'll leave it there, and then I'll be moving, and I saw it, and I'm like, this. I just made a Dark Souls level for ants. Like them crawling through this like. You know, seeing this thing on the horizon, walking in and seeing all the poison desiccated spawn.
Yep.
You know, some of which may have reanimated. Like, I'm like, oh, this is like fucking Sanctum City.
No, it's nice. just a bunch of desiccated carapaces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the island of lost carapaces.
Yeah, they're walking and they think, man, the surface is weird. And they look down like, oh shit, it's all ants. It's all friends. Like that's like the floor of New Londo.
Yeah. Yeah. I always thought that was a cool thing you could do for ants.
That's so. a fun little thing. Making a haunted house for ants around my dick.
Well, I'm not. What's his head?
What?
Ian. Who's the guy who likes the ants all over his dick?
You know the famous man who likes the ants all over his dick?
No, he is. It's true. Okay. It's Ian Miles Chong.
Oh.
That guy's got some ant dick issues.
Wrong opinion man on the internet. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the worst opinions on everything. But he had some kind of thing where he talked about like ants in this weird way that was gross and he never let it down and he never should.
Right, which is why
there's the character in Atomic who lives at the abandoned Dave and Buster's who likes the ants all has the sexual relationship. With
gotcha.
Them.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was like an amazing atheist kind of thing. Isn't he the guy who poured boiling oil on his dick?
I think that's the amazing atheist.
Yeah.
Amazing. Gotta hand it to him.
Yeah.
Poured boiling oil on his dick.
Not everybody would do that.
Conservatives are so fucking stupid. I understand not all of them are, but like, it's just amazing. There's that Joey Salads guy who has this video of him peeing in his own mouth and he's running for Senate. Like, what is happening? Like, what do you, like, how is that not a disqualifier? Like, that guy's got supporters.
The thing that gives,
he peed in his own mouth on a video, though, dude.
Yeah. Well, the thing that gives me hope about that is that, Caitlin Bennett can't go anywhere without just, like, random people on the street knowing that she shit herself.
I love that.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, these things be, disqualifiers.
Yeah.
That fucking Joey Salads guy, though. Like, I saw the video. Somebody posted it on Twitter. I didn't mean to, but I was like, I've seen you pee in your own mouth. Like, why should I ever listen to anything you have to say?
Yeah,
that's a pretty big disqualifier. You know,
what was the context for him peeing in his own mouth? Was he doing a handstand and got impatient?
Like, what's the acceptable answer to that?
I don't know. It's like
NASA training. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it was just like a prank.
Okay,
like he was doing it to be funny.
Cool prank.
Ran for Senate later.
Prank, bro.
Yeah, you really pranked yourself, brother. Yeah. Like Ashton Kutcher is gonna jump out of your dick and be like, "Hey, I'm B," and then like, fucking hey, dude.
Like Ashton Kutcher does on his show, peed. He jumps out and says, he shows up in different situations.
Hey, I'm B. Hi.
Bart, go away. I am piss.
Tag yourself. I'm P.
Fuck, man. That's a weird episode of this show.
Let's do three really bland episodes of MIMP now. And we've gotten all the juice out.
Yep.
So thank you for sponsoring this episode, Rowan. If you'd like to sponsor an episode or get bonus episodes or just support your boys, you can do so by going to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yes.
You can leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. That's appreciated.
Yeah.
And tell your friends.
Please do. And you know, if you are finding yourself looking for more things to listen to, chances are you haven't heard every episode of the show, not even just the premium ones, but we've got a lot. We're coming up on 350 now. So
quite a few,
many. Yep. Yeah. So until next time, today's video is sponsored by Raid Shadow Legends, one of the biggest mobile role-playing games of 2019, and it's totally free. Currently, almost 10 million users have joined Raid over the last 6 months, and it's one of the most impressive games in its class with detailed models.